Welcome to the British Chamber of Commerce Singapore's podcast channel. We're excited to bring you season three of new episodes featuring in-depth content across Singapore, ASEAN, and the United Kingdom. We've had some extraordinary guests on our channel, including Formula One's Claire Williams.
I'm a firm believer that any great team, any successful team has a great culture flowing through it. You aren't successful if you don't. So we put a lot of work into this.
Renowned mountaineer Kenton Cool.
That 2019 there with a client, a big storm came in and literally destroyed Camp 2. And I've got some video footage of Sherpas like trying to hold on to the tent fabric as it blows away. And
the Royal Navy's Commodore Steve Morehouse, commander of the UK Carrier Strike Group.
The squadron of F-35 aircraft we have on board is a Royal Air Force squadron, and the personnel in there are drawn from both the Navy and the Air Force. So, you know, what better way of showing just the efficiency and the joined up nature that we now have?
And distinguished Sky News anchor Jeremy Thompson.
We had two little vans with satellite links, and we leapfrogged up the road to Pristina, the capital, throughout that first day, with non-stop coverage from basically inside a war zone.
We also sit down with the likes of TikTok, Twitch, and Twitter, and continue to bring you conversations around business and trade, leadership and people, sustainability, sports and arts, and much, much more. Thank you, as always, for your support, and we hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the British Chamber of Commerce ICT Committee podcast. I'm Daisy, your host, and each episode will be joined by an expert who'll be demystifying those technology concepts we wish we knew a little bit more about. Today, we're talking about cybersecurity. It's a huge topic, but we shouldn't be too intimidated as we are in very safe hands with Richard Koh, Microsoft Singapore's CTO. Welcome, Richard.
Thank you, Daisy. And thanks for having me on the podcast.
No, it's brilliant to grab some of your time and your busy schedule. So, Richard, you have been the driving force behind computer advancements globally. You've spent time in the USA and a lot of time in Asia. You're always pushing boundaries. And my favorite quote of yours is, it's important to think about what technology should do instead of what it can do. And I think that's a brilliant sentiment that we can take into this discussion about cybersecurity. So, in line with you pushing boundaries, I'm not going to start with an easy question. And I'm going to ask for you to please give us all a short overview of how big the cyber threat landscape is to us as individuals and to companies out there?
That's a great question, Daisy. I love how we think about technology in this cybersecurity landscape itself. And the thing is, it's not just bigger, it's getting a lot more complex, both for people, you and myself, and the companies that we work for and with. As we reflect back on the last 2 years of our hybrid work and lifestyle itself, more people have gotten online, use a lot more different applications and services to pretty much weather through the lockdowns and the hybrid work, if you will. There is definitely more security risk for everyone. And we've all grown our digital footprint. A term I like to use is digital exhaust. We leave a lot of nuggets on the internet itself. And this has been implications across whether is it applications, devices, online services that we used. And this has opened a lot of doors for things like, you know, data leaks, for example, ransomware attacks, and other cyber threats as well. So from our perspective, like Microsoft's Defender's antivirus telemetry, we've seen, let's say, malware encounter rates in Singapore increased by 43%. And each month we receive like 6,500 complaints from people across the globe who reported that they have been a victim of a tech support scam. So I think this is definitely something that has grown bigger in scale, and certainly many individuals and organizations are grappling with. So from our company's perspective, Microsoft Security, we've blocked well over, you know, close to 10 billion malware threats and more than, you know, 35 billion phishing and other malicious emails. And we do actively track more than 35 ransomware families and 250 unique threat actors from observed nation states, ransomware and criminal activities. So just the sheer number of it, it's certainly gotten a lot more complex, a lot more bigger. So it means we have a lot of work to do together as a community, as individuals, and as countries, and frankly, around the world as well.
Absolutely. Wow. You know, those numbers you were rattling off, my maths was not keeping up. But, you know, billions and billions we're talking about here in terms of
That's right.
daily threats. Yeah. So let's go a bit deeper then. Let's unpack some of those topics that you mentioned there, those different types of threats. So you mentioned, you know, phishing attacks, and that comes under the category of social engineering type activities. So most of us by now are tuned in to not clicking on links that say that we've won the lottery, surprisingly, or we shouldn't be sending our money to, you know, overseas unknown princes. But these attacks have really got more and more sophisticated over the years, haven't they? So could you share a little bit more about that?
Yes, that's definitely something that is really realistic these days. And I think all of us are encountering it in one way or another through our phones, SMS messages, things like that. And one of the things is that because we use our cloud and artificial intelligence to recognize such patterns and be able to stem such threats, I think when we think about how we can educate, you know, both individuals from a society and community perspective, but also at the organization level, I think this kind of continued awareness helps to strengthen our foundation when we think about building a resilient and safe, digitally inclusive Singapore itself. And there's just more of this fraud that's going on because, you know, unfortunately, cyber criminals are going after this data and they are looking at how they can evolve their tactics to create sometimes sense of urgency, a sense of even authenticity in the malicious or phishing emails or messages that they send. And unfortunately, even the most digitally savvy users, such as millennials and Gen Zs here in Singapore, are no strangers to this type of fraud. And according to the Singapore Police Force, you know, more than just 7 million was lost to tech support scams just from January to April in 2020 itself. So you can see that it's real and unfortunately is growing. So education is really key. And collaboration across the community, it's really important. I think when we think about whether is it tech support scams or the kind of reasons where consumers fall prey to these kind of scams, is that they're sometimes misrepresenting themselves as associated with reputable companies like ourselves, for example. And we have to work with certainly with individuals, organizations here in Singapore to really educate what these are and how to recognize them and be able to not fall prey to them itself. So I think when we really think about that education piece of it, it's really important because these cyber criminals, unfortunately, are evolving their tricks and their methods, and what we need to do is quickly stay ahead of them and be open to, in terms of sharing how these are evolving and so that people can identify them and be able to avoid these kind of scams or phishing emails, for example.
Absolutely. That education piece is so important, and staying ahead of it, isn't it, in terms of you know, it's no longer just text message links or email links. It's actual phone calls that are being used, and different ways you mentioned creating that urgency. Mm-hmm. You did slightly mention at the start there, Richard, in terms of AI potentially helping to support with phishing attacks. Could you elaborate a little bit further?
Sure. And this is where it comes back to that statement that I talked about that you brought up, you know, not only what technology can do and what it should do. And this is where when as a company, when we think about our mission to empower every person and every organization to achieve more, we look at the technology, the tools and the platforms that we create, the capabilities that we create around AI, and how do we deploy that to be able to spot patterns in some of this. And having that kind of massive ability to ingest a lot of data and identify the kind of patterns, machine learning models can be created to it, where we then use some of these machine learning models to be able to surface, for example, patterns that perhaps we can escalate it to a human security engineer or incident responder to be able to spot those patterns and say, okay, this looks like something that we should be concerned with. How do we protect all our consumers? So I think it is not only about what AI can do, but thinking about AI augmenting our security teams and really amplifying their capabilities to be able to protect all our customers, our partners, and frankly, you know, the community at large as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also, though, making sure that technologies don't lead us into a false sense of security, even with how advanced AI models and different security systems can be. Mm-hmm. We've always got that human touch because currently we're all still humans. We haven't been completely overtaken by cyborgs. So let's start talking about where that human touch creates the vulnerabilities. So a lot of us, particularly in companies, will use access control systems to give us that sense of security around data leaks, which you mentioned before as well. Mm-hmm. So can you share a bit further in terms of the human vulnerabilities and whether, you know, access controls or other security systems, if we're moving in the right direction there?
Yeah, it's a great question when it comes to access controls, Stacey. I think there are many different levels, whether we are accessing a building or applications, accessing databases, for example, or a perhaps a machine or an IoT device that is logging into the corporate network. These are the kind of same thing patterns that a lot of times intelligent technology can come into play to help augment and work with the IT teams, for example, who are managing the security in an enterprise, for example, and be able to spot patterns of anomalies. And what we do here at Microsoft is that, again, together with the industry, we're promoting the concept around zero trust in the environment itself. And what that means is really, really verifying each of those interactions at scale. Unfortunately, you're not going to be able to do that just from a human-driven perspective. So in some way, software and machines can come in and bring that intelligence and bring that scale for us to be able to do that so that every single logins, every single access, you verify. And if the patterns itself are not, let's say, commonly known, then it should flag up a multi-factor challenge, for example, that itself creates the barriers for potential cyber criminals to be able to gain access to sensitive data, for example. So it's really raising that that bar or that layers of barriers so that it makes it a lot more costly for cyber criminals to be able to, let's say, you know, attack systems and things like that. And, you know, when organizations protect themselves in that manner, I think, you know, it turns away cyber criminals, they will usually turn away and look for the easier targets. So I think this is where zero trust plays a very, very important aspect. And it comes across whether is it your infrastructure, devices, your data, your applications, and frankly, also the human side of it, the users themselves, right? And this is where when organizations start thinking across holistically, then they have a much, much better chance of being able to thwart any attempts by cyber criminals.
Absolutely. That that consideration, that holistic view of where the touch points are, where those vulnerabilities are, it is just so vital for companies and then for us as individuals as well. And I suppose, Richard, for us that are in the industry, or actually even for all of us, you know, we are getting more knowledgeable about the power of cloud and how cloud can support this this view of the different areas that we're going into our system and how that process is happening. Can you share a bit about you know, as a hyperscaler cloud provider, how cloud can help with access controls and security in general?
Oh, Daisy, that's my favorite topic. I think when we think about cybersecurity, is something that it's happening at scale, just like what we have discussed earlier on, really across the globe itself. So when we think about this, let's say, for example, with technologies, with capabilities like Microsoft Azure Active Directory itself, it's not only a technology for, let's say, access controls in terms of applications, devices, and users, but we also bring in our intelligence in terms of, let's say, for example, scouring the dark web for credentials that have been compromised. And if any organizations do have, let's say, for example, some of the users or some of the applications credentials that have been compromised, we would be able to use our intelligence to be able to say, hey, this looks like something that is available for sale on the dark web. So I think we should be blocking this credential. Something fishy is going on here. So again, I think when we think about our capabilities at scale, especially with the hyperscale cloud, this is the kind of capabilities we bring in and build into our products. And another way to think about it is that because of the sheer scale of Microsoft cloud services across the world, I think I cannot always keep track on the statistic itself, but I think literally on a daily basis, we're processing about 23 trillion signals every day across the whole entire infrastructure. And the cloud itself, but this gives us that capability to be able to spot patterns on where some of these cyber threats might be emerging, which part of the world and how is it spreading, and what perhaps what kind of critical infrastructure is it targeting. And that gives us that early warning signal to be able to protect our customers and frankly also consumers and everyone around the world itself. So I think the cloud has certainly afforded us that scale to be able to protect our customers and our partners.
Absolutely. That knowledge is so vital in order to get ahead of the bad guys. So we've mentioned AI in terms of helping us with phishing attacks. And you've just talked about cloud helping us with access controls and generally scoping out that threat landscape. Could you talk about some of the cyber issues that AI and cloud actually introduce, just to spin things on its head a little bit, keeping it interesting?
Sure. Of course, I think it harks back to your earlier point where perhaps sometimes the human gets too dependent on the intelligent technology itself. And I think that's a real caution across the board, that we are as the human and whether it's security investigators or that do not over rely on systems to be able to just take care of all the identification of the threats that's coming in. I think when things like machine learning models, we have also seen compromises or threats introduced in some of these, where let's say cyber criminals are actually targeting some of them to be able to thwart the activities that the security incident responders are looking at as well. So a very deliberate and security-driven mindset around things like machine learning ops, like you heard of DevOps in the IT world. Same thing when we think about the AI and machine learning world, there's also something called MLOps. And how building that security mindset into the MLOps development and training of the models is also a very important aspect of being able to prevent any of that corruption or any of that changes of those machine learning models that you're using to identify these kind of potential threats as well. So I think it's not as simple as just deploying AI and then you walk away. You have to ensure that the teams are well skilled and keeping their skills in this space up to speed, up to mark. Because you can rest assured the cyber criminals are also doing their training as well. So I think it is realistic that we will have to constantly either upgrade ourselves, learn some new techniques and certainly bring in modern DevOps, MLOps type of capabilities with security, you know, designed right at the very beginning.
Yeah. Cybersecurity's job is never done, is it?
Absolutely. It's one of those jobs that is probably evergreen for a long, long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And just similar on cloud, Richard, making sure we're not over-reliant, making sure you understand what services you're requiring from the providers. Is there anything else on cloud that introduces significant risks?
So I think the way to think about it is that through a zero trust approach itself, when let's say, for example, our customers and partners are adopting and leveraging on our Microsoft Cloud services itself. I think thinking across holistically across things like security, compliance, identity, management, all through all of that, it's very important because it's not just about, let's say, blocking a, let's say, DDoS attack or anything like that, but really thinking about, let's say, how do you protect your data? How does access it's granted? What are the governance that's required around there? What kind of identity management strategy would you have to be able to also look at some of these potential threats? And another area, for example, is insider threats. Unfortunately, there could be insiders as well could be compromised and be the source of that cybersecurity threat as well. How do we spot patterns when let's say employees are using the services that you have around emails and collaboration, and when they are accessing data that they're not supposed to, perhaps on their last week of work, there would be some trends that would be able to alert the security systems that something fishy is going on, and being able to alert the IT folks, the security folks that some potential insider threats has been happening. So with Microsoft insider threats capabilities, these are some of the things that when we think about it holistically and bringing the best of suite in terms of security capabilities and governance and management capabilities, this is what we bring to our customers and our partners so that when they come to the cloud, it's not just for an infrastructure or just advanced platform services, for example, but really that threat of security and compliance and identity management across the whole suite of cloud services itself, whether it's Office 365, Dynamics 365, or Microsoft Azure, for example.
Yeah, brilliant. So you have to consider the risks with everything, but on balance, what AI and cloud can provide is certainly seems like the future of us protecting ourselves. So we've covered a lot. We've covered education, we've covered AI, we've covered cloud. Is there anything else that as individuals or as companies that you would recommend people to put their focus towards?
Yeah, well, what we always like to say is that security is a team sport. And team sport, not really meaning that it's just the team Microsoft itself, but really across the whole community, the government stakeholders, the institutes of higher learnings, the schools, the organizations that we work with, recognizing that this is a board level discussion. This is a board level concerns and remit as well, that cybersecurity is very important to the ongoing healthy functioning of any organization for that matter. So that this particular effort is not just delegated to just the IT side of the house, but it's a responsibility that is owned by every single one in the organization itself. And I think here in Singapore, we've done a very good job of not just educating the public on scams and unfortunately such phishing attacks, but also at the same time, the education that's taking place by the technology providers, by organizations when they think about that. So I think that team sport is coming together really, really nicely and really well. But it's certainly something that we cannot let up. It's something that every board, every senior management will have to always constantly put a focus on that. It's the kind of health checks that we all have to adhere to for the smooth functioning of our organization. So certainly that would be the message I'd love for your audience to take away.
Absolutely. And in terms of the scope and the numbers you've been throwing at us this morning, Richard, you know, you've certainly given us the sense of just how important that attention is for everyone. So,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you so much. As I mentioned, you're an extremely busy person. So grabbing the time with you today has been fascinating, and you've given us a huge amount to think about. So really, thank you. And thank you to all our listeners. Tune in for the next episode when we'll be demystifying another everyday technology concept.
All right. Thank you, Daisy. Been a pleasure.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the British Chambers podcast. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe, and why not leave us a rating and review on Spotify, Apple, Google, and the other podcast platforms. For more information, please visit our website at www.britcham.org.sg, and tune in next time for a brand new episode.